There's another lesson here in this text to take away from the devil's approach with Jesus, and that is this. The devil knows how to personally tempt us. The devil just doesn't give temptations that are pure evil and wicked. The devil doesn't necessarily give temptations that point towards our weaknesses personally. Many times the temptations of the devil are towards our strengths and even our good points. Consider these temptations of Jesus. The first temptation is to turn stone, this limestone, into bread. Nothing wrong with that. Jesus already had the skill to do that. He had created all the world, all that was in it. He could create material things. See, the devil didn't go after a weakness that Jesus had. The devil went after a strong point of Jesus. Just he wanted to distort it. Take the second temptation. Temptation to go up to the top of the temple. This was Solomon's temple. And to drop 450 feet down. That's the drop. So that everyone could see this amazing sign and wonder, so to speak. Jesus already had the ability to do signs and wonders. In his ministry, see, he would give sight to the blind. He would allow the lame to walk. He would raise someone from the dead. He already had this ability. The devil took a strength of Jesus's and wanted to twist it to his advantage. The third temptation was to have all power and authority. Jesus already had all power and authority. Again, the devil wanted to twist it to his advantage. There's a second takeaway for us that we can apply to our own lives. The devil may not tempt us necessarily with wickedness and evil deeds, and the devil may not tempt us with our weaknesses. The devil may go after our strong points and distort those. Think about this. Are you an athlete? Nothing matters being an athlete. I was an athlete, kind of fading out of being an athlete, but I was an athlete. But isn't it possible an athlete can become, with distortion, prideful and arrogant? Yeah? Yeah, you're shaking your head? Are you smart? Nothing matters with being smart. That's not a sin. But isn't a quick step to becoming prideful and haughty and superior in your approach to other people? Are you wealthy? Nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin to be to have wealth and means and that sort of thing. But isn't it easy to take one step with something that is neutral, in which it's distorted, and we use it for selfish gain? My friend gave me great advice. You don't have to continue riding in the car. You can just say, I want out. Jesus doesn't engage in long, drawn-out conversation with the devil. He keeps the conversation on point. Notice Eve didn't do that in Genesis chapter 3. She kind of gets caught up in debate and explanation over what something means. Jesus doesn't do that. He keeps the conversation on point. He's essentially saying, I don't want to take this ride, devil. I want out. And in verse 10, he says, be gone. This isn't the only time that the devil comes along and tempts Jesus, by the way. In Matthew chapter 16, it looks like the devil enters into Peter, and there's a moment there. And then later on, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that temptation came his way. He was in pain. He was in agony. You have to think that the devil was behind that. But you see, what's interesting about Jesus is he just doesn't give the devil any time. I'm not taking that ride, he says. Be gone. The Christian church has given a lot of credit to the devil. I get it. It's in our doctrine. Devil caused sin, confusion, brokenness, havoc all around us. We see it. But I don't want to belittle that. But I wonder if sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Can't we simply say every day, I don't want to take this ride, devil. Get out. Be gone. Go away. I want to be about something else.